Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity. I'm Keith.
And I'm Zach.
And together we are hosting this this wonderful half-hour...
Beautiful
day outside, actually. The temperature is approaching freezing for the first time in several days.
Right. After it being 12 degrees yesterday.
And it was like...
Even lower than
before
that.
It was cold this morning, but... Hey, guess what? By the time this airs, the temperature may be 20. I don't know.
Whoa. Bright summer's day.
And, you know, we were talking before we started recording about how spring is really just around the corner. And
you guys know what that means.
Pavilion number 4.
And kayaking,
and as soon as the ice thaws on the lake, hopefully we can get the kayaks back in the water. But not today.
Not today.
Definitely, definitely not today. This is episode number 33 of our program, and you know we're past the half year mark in doing this program. That's like a milestone of sorts.
We're past our 6 month anniversary,
and I'm kind of, I don't know. When we get to the 1 year mark, what are we going to do?
We're going to do something special.
Something special.
I'll bring you in a cake.
Big.
Yeah.
Can you bring enough cake for everyone? Because, you know,
there's only two of us. So, yeah.
Well, I was thinking of all of our listeners, too. Well, you would probably have to come here to share in the cake. But anyway, episode number 33 airing on the, 19th of January?
Today is the 18th.
Yeah, so tomorrow is the 19th. This will air on the 19th. Happy birthday, Dad, as this airs.
A devout listener of ours.
And so...
Over in Missouri?
That's right. And so, you know, happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, Keith's Dad.
So,
today we're going to talk about problems.
Thank you for that segue, because I was struggling there for a second.
Today we're going to talk about problems.
Problems. Everybody's got problems, right?
Yes, they do.
And, you know, we have this tendency to want to ignore our problems in the hopes that they will go away.
Let's just ignore them, push them to the side, let them fester.
Fester.
We won't do anything about them.
You know, and maybe if we ignore them long enough, they will become someone else's problems.
Has that ever happened?
I think that sometimes we hope that that's what's going to happen.
What logic in the human mind thinks that, you know, if we just throw a problem to the side, it's just going to go away? When in fact, it's really going to come back and it's going to bite us. Right in the backside.
And that's usually what happens.
Right.
But, you know, we do have problems. So today we are going to, and Zach, you said before that there's no way we'll get through one of these, much less.
You wrote down problems for four different things. We rarely get through 2 points in one different thing.
Well, we're going to shoot for at least 2 points today.
Okay.
I don't know how far we're going to get.
I think we can get through all three of these.
So Zach. Problems. Let's talk about problems among our young people. Bearing in mind to you, our listeners, that these are problems that we came up with. We didn't actually poll anybody. This is not scientific in any stretch of the imagination.
We sat before we recorded and brainstormed.
Problems for our youth today. What do you think? And we're going to list three of these in no particular order. So what do you think? Problems of our youth.
Well, these are in schools, correctly. We're talking about school situations, school atmosphere.
School situations, but, you know, that's kind of generic because all of our children are in school.
Right. Okay.
Then
we're going to talk about problems that stem from youth. Okay. The number one problem, I think, is peer pressure.
That is not a new problem, is it?
It is not. You always heard the old adage, what is it, just say no?
Yes, I've heard that before.
How hard is it to just say no, though?
Evidently, it's pretty hard because we're still having to say, just say no.
Right, and that's been going on for years.
So, you know, in peer pressure, the problems that stem from peer pressure, number one, they are very, very real.
Oh, yes.
As much as we tell ourselves, You know what? Peer pressure is something that is subjective as opposed to objective. You can't touch it, taste it, smell it, feel it, see it, or hear it. Mm-hmm. But, well, actually, you can hear it, and actually, you can see it, but, you know.
I get where you're going.
Yeah.
I think they get it, too.
It's still an intangible. That is very much tangible because it is... so real. Our youth feel this, and I think our youth feel it more than we do as adults.
Oh, yeah. And they're at an age, especially if you're talking about kids in middle school and high school, they're at an age where it's just human instinct, I think, for the desire to fit in with crowds, to fit in with friends, to fit in with others, so you don't stand out.
You know, I think a lot of that comes from the fact that our youth, or youth of any generation in any time in any place, are still struggling to find their place in the world.
Right.
And they're trying to figure out who they are and who they are going to become. And so this peer pressure is something that is very, very real. It's very easy to say, you know what, don't succumb to this peer pressure, you know, be your own self, but that it's easier for us to say that as adults than it is to live it, especially as a young adult, a blossoming adult, if you will. And
well, it's kind of weird, you know, for to be in my situation, you know, where I'm around middle schoolers and high schoolers a lot with coaching basketball. It's weird to see it because you can see it happen. You can see these kids pressuring another kid into doing something. And you're sitting there thinking, what, how is this even bothering him? You know, how is this even affecting him?
Right.
And that's me sitting here at 20 years old, you know, in my 20s to thinking, well, you know, I don't know how that's even bothering him. But then you can actually see it weighing on him, like it's bothering him or her even. And it's just weird seeing something like that.
And Zach, you're a little bit closer to this generationally speaking than I am, because, you know, you mentioned you're 20 and I'm, on the other hand, I'm years old, and you know, so I'm a little bit further removed from it than you are, but you know, we do see changes in that peer pressure, how it affects us. We know that to some degree it's real even in adulthood, but there is a change that takes place at some point.
Well, don't discredit yourself so much. You've got three teenage daughters here.
I do, and a son who was not a teenager.
Not too long ago.
Yeah, he was a teenager not that long ago.
Right.
And, you know, but he, well, we're not going to talk about him, but, you know, he's always been very much his own individual.
Right.
But, you know, it's a struggle. It's something that is very real.
I think it comes from lack of identity, like you said. It stems from lack of identity. And that kind of goes into the second biggest problem in our youth experience.
And actually, all three of these problems that we've listed for our youth are so closely related together. Mm-hmm. Peer pressure,
societal conformity.
Now, I want to point out that that's a little bit different from peer pressure, because the peer pressure comes more from individuals with whom we associate. Societal conformity comes to us from all different areas. You know, every time you turn on the TV or the radio, you are being bombarded with the need to conform to society.
Well, and we live in the social media age. We have things like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and those things are also big contributors to societal conformity.
And
huge.
They really are. When you start talking about the problems related to social media, we should have written that one down. Maybe we can add a fifth one in here. Let me put social media down. So that when we get to that point here in another 10 minutes or whatever. Okay, that was a joke.
Another 10 weeks? Yeah, okay. I gave it 10 weeks.
Social media. I didn't even think of that one. But, you know, I was thinking of just the advertising that we are exposed to.
Oh, yeah.
Because those ads, I want to tell you something. And we don't have cable at our house, so I don't watch a lot of commercials. But just about any time you see a commercial on TV, you should bear in mind that they have spent big bucks to make that commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And to make that commercial just so to try to put pressure on you.
There's a lot of things that go into commercials. It's not just two guys, three guys sitting around a table figuring out, hey, what do you want to do this commercial on? There's research, polls.
All of those things we don't have.
Yeah, lots of things. Yeah, a lot of things that we don't have that go into those.
Yes, and they are doing so. Yes, of course, they want you to purchase their product, but what is their product saying about your place in society? We find it from so many different areas, and while we as adults, let me ask you this. Have you ever purchased something on impulse?
I would have to say I have. Yes. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm sure I have.
Well, you know, I'm the kind that...
I weigh things before I buy them. I think about them, think of how I'm going to use them and stuff, but I'm sure I've bought something on impulse.
Those impulse purchases that we make... some people are more prone to make them than others.
Impulse buyers.
Yes. But, you know, when we think of all that goes into making you purchase that item on impulse, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. It goes back to this societal conformity. But I just want to say that I believe our youth are more subject to these ideas of societal conformity than perhaps we are as adults.
And I also think our youth are more subject to societal conformity than any youth in the past too, because of the advances we've had in technology and things.
More exposure. Mm-hmm. And more availability from different areas, and things. But so we've got peer pressure, societal conformity, and then lack of understanding of expectations.
That's a big one. This one will probably take up the rest.
It very well could.
It's a big one.
Lack of understanding of expectations. Zach, what do we mean by that?
Well, I can tell you a personal story. 10 years old when I was baptized, became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
At that age, you don't really understand the full realm of your Christian responsibilities. You don't really understand the full realm of your Christian expectations. And sitting here in my 20s now, I look back and I'm at a much better place knowledge-wise, understanding-wise, of what it means to be a Christian.
Right.
And what the expectations of you are as a Christian. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, you're baptized at that age and you just don't really, you understand why you're being baptized. I understood why I was being baptized.
Right.
And at that age, you know, I was accountable. I knew what right from wrong was. And I grew up in a Christian household. Both my parents were members of the church and both of them were very Christian oriented. But you still don't understand. The big thing for me is I didn't understand how much pressure I would get from other people to try to do things that went against my values and went against my convictions.
Right.
Because at that age, you're a lot more susceptible to peer pressure, to societal conformity than you are when you're my age now in my 20s, when you're your age, when you get older. Because let's just be honest, you just stop caring. Yeah, I don't care. Are you trying to peer pressure me
Some people stop caring.
Right. Some still care.
Some still care.
But you're a lot less susceptible to it at an older age.
I think that there's a lot to that, and for our youth, it's like anything. You could pick almost any subject and, mm-hmm. and make this application to it. You take, for example, a driver's license. Right. Here in Kentucky, a 16-year-old can get a permit. And they go through that 6-month period, and then they get their driver's license, and we send them out to go places. And, you don't really understand the full impact of the responsibility that right. is given to you.
I mean, if you think about it, we're handing, 16 is very, very loose, because the day people turn 16, they go get the permit. So really, you're right at, you know, still at that 15, 16-year-old age, very young.
Right.
You're not very old. Continue.
But, you know, I was just going to say, you know, you could apply that to having a job, right. even. Mm-hmm. You know, when you first get a job, you don't understand all that is related to it. And this is something I think a lot of people still don't understand, is the impact that they have on others. And how they do their job right. impacts mm-hmm. other people.
Yep.
And when we talk about being a Christian, because that kind of is the title of our program. Talk about
Christianity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, do we ever fully understand the impact that we are going to have on others?
Mm. A big one.
You know, it's something that we have to give constant consideration to. And, you know, we could give scores of examples, but we're talking about our youth right now. We're talking about a lack of understanding of expectations. And this may be oxymoronic, but as we look at our youth not understanding all of the expectations that there may be of them, we should understand that they don't understand right. all of those.
And they don't, and they won't understand unless, you know, after you get older and you get more experience, you're not going to understand it.
Experience. It's going to come with experience.
And then I think if we're talking about expectations, I think it also goes back to what we were talking about before with identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, youth, you're young, you're at that age, say you're 11, you're 12, you're 13, whatever your age was, if you became a Christian, it's very difficult at that age to understand yourself, to have a self-identity. And what you have to realize is once you become a Christian, that's your identity. You know, you can't rely on others to form your identity.
This is true.
And at that age, it's very, very hard to understand that, you know, I don't, my identity is being a Christian, you know, and that encompasses a lot of things. And these other people trying to get me to do these things doesn't mean anything. My identity is a Christian. That's first and foremost.
Right.
With my priorities.
Okay. So let's move on to the second topic that we had thought about talking about.
Okay.
And we've got a ton here, and obviously we're not going to get to all of mm-hmm. them today, but I'm proud we have progressed as far as we have. Problems with the church.
That's a big one.
Or in the church. In the church. Not with the church, but in the church. What do you think we're facing there within the church?
I think the biggest thing that we face is probably the loosening of Scripture where it is not to be loosened.
Okay.
And you could even go with the inverse of that, the tightening of Scripture
where it has not been tightened. Yes, you certainly could. And, you know, you look at so many different passages of Scripture. How many times did Paul warn that this was going to happen? He warned to the elders of the church mm-hmm. at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He warned Timothy over and over again. He warned the church at Thessalonica over and over again that there would be those who would try to pull others away from mm-hmm. the word of God. And, you know, I think as we are talking about the church and we're talking about this topic in particular, I think sometimes people don't fully understand. Well, as we talk about us here in the churches of Christ, for example, sometimes people don't understand the whole concept that we have of we are going to go by the Bible and the Bible only. And, you know, because the denominational world, almost without exception, has some sort of hierarchy. There is some man, some group, some council, some something to which they are answering. And, you know, those sorts of organizations are without biblical precedent, number one.
Right.
As we look at the church in the New Testament, we are seeing a group of Christians who were following the Word of God. As we read the New Testament, we understand that the Word of God at that point in time was not always in the written form.
Mm-hmm.
You had apostles, inspired apostles, who were walking around at that time. There were gifts of the Holy Spirit at that time who were bringing, or which were bringing inspiration to individuals. And John even wrote in 1 John 4 and verse 1 to prove or test or try the spirits, whether they are of God. We can do that today. We need to be doing that today. But to know whether or not a spirit or a voice, however you want to describe it,
right,
is of God, we're going to have to go to the Word of God. I think it is a blessing that today we have the Word of God. I think it is a blessing that we are able to pick up the Word of God, read it, and understand it today. Right. Paul wrote in Ephesians 3 and verses 3 through 5 that when we read, we can understand what mm-hmm. he understood.
Right.
And there you had an inspired apostle talking about that understanding. And if we are going to be the church of the New Testament, if we are going to be the church for which Jesus died, if we are going to be the church of which he is the head, if we are going to be the church for which, that he promised mm-hmm. to build, we're going to have to go to the Word of God, and we're going to have to release our bonds and our ties and our expectations from all of these worldly thoughts that men have generated and propagated.
Well, and I think some of the problems also, and you went into the hierarchy of various denominations, and that is a big, big factor. But I think the other factor is, too, is the lines have been blurred between feelings and what I'm feeling rather than structure and what the Bible says about how the church is supposed to function.
And very closely related to that is, what we like or what we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are a lot of people who, I have personally talked to a lot of people who have picked up the Word of God. They have read it in my presence and, mm-hmm. and they've said, well, yes, this is what the Bible says, but
the conjunction, but.
But they didn't like what the Bible said, and so they had decided to go some other way.
Well, and you also, the third factor that you could apply to this, too, is, well, the Bible changes as times change. That's a big one.
That is a big one.
There is no scripture within the Bible that you will find that supports that.
Well, if you're going to take that view that, the reason, and this is the view that some take, they take the Word of God as a guideline,
mm-hmm.
but they want to say that God's expectation of man change as the world changes, as society changes, as we change.
Right.
But as you pointed out, there is no biblical precedent for that. if that were true, then the Word of God would have different, not just different meaning to us, but different application to us mm-hmm. at different stages in our lives.
And that's also not so
bad. If that were true, mm-hmm. then if you were, say, for example, facing temptation, and, you know, we could pull any temptation right. out of the hat, you know, and talk about it. But I don't want to name specific ones because James wrote in James chapter 1 that every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts. Mm-hmm. What tempts you may not tempt me, and vice right. versa, and probably will not, at least to the same degree. But we talk about temptation. If we are facing temptation, if the Word of God is applying to us subjectively at whatever stage we are in our lives, then we could, and some have, made the argument that those temptations are not real, mm-hmm. you know, or they are not something that we have to overcome. Well, where are we going to draw the lines there, you know?
And another thing, too, is I don't understand the view, because I just don't understand how people can think that, you know, the Bible's views change as society changes or as time goes on. That's just not something that is fallible. And if you look at the Bible, you know, God's views, God's expectations of man have been written thousands of years ago, and they have been set in stone, and they've remained the same. And those are never going to change. It's all about consistency.
It is. And relative to that, I know the clock's winding down rapidly on us. We probably should have just stayed on that first topic and not even come over here. But
we'll do a recap next episode.
Yeah. You know what? As a matter of fact, maybe I just better hold this point until... I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. I've got a minute and a half. I can do this.
You maybe got a little bit more than a minute and a half.
There are... Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 4 that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. What does that spirit, that one spirit that he mentions, say? And I want you to think on that point. And actually, I preached on this, what was it, a week, 2 weeks ago? Yeah, I don't know.
It was 2 weeks.
I think it was Wednesday night Bible class, so it may not have aired on the radio. But what does that one spirit say? And I'll let you think on that, and then we'll go ahead and we'll hold that till next week. Right. But if we want to know what that one spirit says, we better be looking at what the Spirit said mm-hmm. through the Word of God. Okay, so we got to wrap this up really quickly. Contact information.
I'm Zach at letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And my email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com. Email us with your questions, your suggestions, your comments about the program.
You can find us on Facebook, Let's Talk About, a Christian radio program and podcast. You can find us on the internet with our website, letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
We would love to have your random Bible questions.
Yes.
Thank you for listening, and we will pick this up next week.